Good morning. Hope everybody had a good weekend, a good week. My goodness, I partied out. Our family gets together, food. We sat around, had a good time talking, ate too much. That's our style of party. I don't do the party that the world does, of course, but I'm okay with that. But such a great week. I've watched a lot of stuff on TV, all the celebrations about America and our independence. I'm glad I live in America. I'm glad I was born in the USA. And I'm not political this morning or anyway. Just do whatever you want to do and think about that. But I believe God was in the beginning of this thing. I believe our nation's been blessed because we've honored God, basically, in our Declaration of Independence. It's very clear that God had his hand upon America. There were a lot of uncertain times when we didn't know if our republic would make it. But looking back on it, it was miraculous what happened. We've been in battles. The Battle of Midway in World War II was a turning point in the war against the Japanese at that time. And the Battle of Midway pretty much destroyed the Japanese Navy. And it could have went the other way. But the Declaration of Independence, all the way through our history, has been, it's the best document that you could put forth for a government, for a people, for a godly nation. It doesn't have to be. I thought I might use some of your notes you got hid in there. I could make a good lesson out of that if I had them. But the Declaration of Independence, if you think about it, all around the world today, there's problems, there's calamities, there's all kinds of things going on, and most of the citizens are suppressed. They're put down. There's two classes of people in most of the world. There's the rich and there's the poor. And if you're not born in a rich household, you're going to be poor forever. There's no opportunity. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus laid out some opportunities for us, didn't he? No matter how we're born, we could be born into poverty. We could be born into projects in Detroit, Birmingham, Alabama, or Memphis, Tennessee, come out of a project house, not have family. Just think about what Jesus could do in our life as far as if we just accept him. We just let him be Lord of our life. Look what a difference he makes. But I look at the Constitution and all these things. How did our founding fathers start out with, hey, you know what? We're taxed. We're taxed by the British. They're ruling us, and now they're going to tell us how to worship. And the reason we came to this country was so we could have freedom to worship, freedom to govern ourselves, freedom to rise up in society and take advantage of whatever opportunity we're able to take advantage of. And I'm red, white, and blue all the way through. Don't tell me you don't have opportunity in America. Don't tell me that you're somehow put down because of the color of your skin or the society you're born into or where you were born or your family name. That has nothing to do with you today as far as you're progressing in life. You can go to work. You can go to school. You can take online classes. You can go somewhere. You know, right now you can go to Columbia State and get a 2-year degree free. You come out of high school and go to Columbia State, anybody can afford that. And not only that, when you can't afford it and you go in there to the admissions office and the people that help you get everything lined up, if you're willing to do something, they'll find you somebody that's probably going to support you through school. There's all kinds of people that support kids that want to go to school and better themselves. don't even know who their supporters are a lot of times, but they take advantage of grants. People that have been prospered in America give to help everybody else. You don't find that in Russia. You won't find that in China. You won't find that in a lot of places. But you'll find it in America, opportunity. What an opportunity we have in America. I better get on my lesson. I hadn't even looked at my notes yet. But I think about independence. Boy, what an Independence Day. We had a time. And I got cold chills on my arms and all over my body just about when I saw the flyovers coming over those memorials at Washington, D.C., and the ones they did out there at the where the presidents are on the mountain. Yeah. I've been there, and I saw that a few years ago. It's awesome. And I would have loved to had the whole week to be in Washington, D.C. this week just to see all the stuff that's going on. I was there one time during Memorial Day weekend, and they had the Rolling Thunder, the motorcycles coming in there, and you could hear them coming for miles, and all of the traffic lights all around the mall. And if you've ever been there, the Washington Mall, and all the Smithsonian's and everything, it is awesome to go there. Everybody, every American should go at some point in their life and see all that. But all of the traffic lights around there were blinking caution. They had all the intersections blocked, and here they got motorcycles roar all day long. They're circling that mall, and they're coming in and making that big circle, and some of them parking all around everywhere, and it was awesome. A celebration. It was a celebration. We ought to be jumping up and down every time we get in the presence of the Lord, I'm telling you. Independence Day. What does Independence Day mean to you? You know, I'm glad I live in America and everybody has independence, because we're American citizens. We're pretty much left alone. We can do whatever we want to do. As long as we don't break the laws of the land, nobody bothers you. One of the greatest things about America's independence is I can go worship. I am free to worship anywhere I want to worship. Try that in Russia. Try that in Iran. Try that in many other countries. All the Muslim countries, they don't worship the Lord out in public like we do. We can set up a tent out here and have a revival all week long. People drive by. They can stop if they want to, but nobody's going to stop us from that. What a grand freedom we have to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Even we got differences about things. But I can go anywhere in town today and walk in and feel welcome in the house of God. No other country guarantees that. No other country in the world is like America. I hope we can always teach that to our young people. 250-year celebration. There's another, perhaps, if the Lord don't come back, another 250 years ahead of us. What will America look like 25, 30 years from now? You know, the technology brought a lot of good things to America. Our military, greatest in the world. You know who's running all this equipment out there and all this military know-how we have? It's all these little kids that about 20 years ago were playing on these little games. And I always wondered, I said, kids don't need to play all them games all the time. But you know what? The old generals in the military, they said, we're waiting on these people. We're waiting on this generation. Now the 19 and 20-year-olds are guiding missiles from Missouri all the way to Iran. And not only just guiding missiles, but they don't just look for a house or a building. They look for a specific window where that missile will land. It's awesome what we can do militarily. It's an opportunity for them young people. But our young people need to learn also not just the technology part of it, and technology's great. Although, that cell phone, I can send a text. I can look up something if it's not too complicated. I don't do any banking on mine. Pat does. She does our banking on her phone. I'm afraid to do a lot of things on the phone. I'm very limited in what I can do with that cell phone. But according to Elon Musk, this is going to be obsolete within 5 years. Most people won't carry a cell phone 5 years from now. Wow. Only in America can we reach for technology and send the gospel around the world. Only in America. Technology. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Independence. Independence of America meant independence for me and you. Independent from oppression, from everybody. We can be whatever we want to be in America. Boy, the greatest thing that we can be is one of God's children. And we need to be independent from a lot of things that keeps us away from God. And if I get down to the lesson here in a minute, it's going to be because one day I found out and I felt like that I was in a bad shape. I was depressed. I was under conviction. I didn't want to go to church because I felt bad. I felt like I just knew there was something missing in my life. It's a wonderful thing when you get born again. When all of a sudden you feel like a whole weight of the whole world, a burden of sin has been lifted off of your shoulders. It makes a difference in anybody's life. Now, I'm not saying I've got it all figured out and I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect. But I'd love to have a perfect desire to serve Him. And I'll keep going, and when I fall, I'm going to get back up. But the church in America has an opportunity to present the gospel like no other world the power has. And I'll always believe that God had His hand in the beginning. Our young people need to learn. Teach your children, teach your young people in your family, in your neighborhood, your grandkids. Set them down once in a while and say, I'm going to tell you a little story about this, about that, about how I remember when I was in sin. I remember when I was, the devil had a hook in my nose and he was leading me around into things I shouldn't have been into. Mom and Dad had a good influence on me, but there's nothing like born again. You can't ride in on Mama's coattail and Daddy's coattail. You got to figure this out yourself. But it's a personal thing. But being born again creates independence from things. I'm dependent upon the Lord, but I'm way independent from the worldly system. I can live in America and live a Christian life, and I don't have to do what everybody else does. It's sin. I don't have to involve myself in that. There's a lot of things that's sinful in this world that'll destroy your health. It'll destroy your peace of mind. It'll destroy your emotional state, your mental state. We have a lot of crazy people walking around. There's a lot of them have already burned their brain cells out with drugs. There's synthetic drugs. It's all this stuff. When I was growing up, it was a big deal if we'd slip around and get a can of beer once in a while. You know, young people, they'll get with other young people, and they'll try things like that, and some people do. Some of them don't, but I tried a few little things. I never did like that. I participated in a little of it, but I never really developed a taste for a lot of that. I'm glad I didn't, but I got saved at a young enough age. I knew it wasn't right. And I got under conviction. I got independent from all that. I got delivered from all that. I got redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Every one of us need to be redeemed. The Bible is really plain about this. You got to be born again. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and he said, "Good master." He saw something. He heard Jesus teaching. He heard Jesus speaking. He was in the presence of Jesus. And if you ever get in the presence of him in a good, lively service where people are really worshiping, or if you really want to enter into worship, turn you a good song on riding down the highway and say, "God, speak to me today. I want to hear your voice today. I want to worship you today. Thank you for allowing me to just invite your presence into my vehicle right now." Just ride down the road with a good song on it. See if you don't feel the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is a precious thing. Nicodemus was in the presence of Jesus Christ. You don't walk in God's presence without knowing something real. If you get in a church where they honor God and where they say, "The Spirit of God is invited here today, and it's going to reach out and it's going to touch somebody's soul and somebody's heart," you're going to feel the presence of God. It's real. And it's going to reach out there and it's going to grab sinners and they're going to say, "There's something missing. I can't do anything on my own, but he can do what I need done for me right now." People get up out of that chair and they come to the altar and they pray through. I still believe in praying through. You stay down there until you feel like you've got what you need. And when you get up and start to leave, you're going to leave a burden behind. Is that not right, brother? I'm going to tell you something. You got to be born again. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to be saved?" Now, if you know anything about Nicodemus and about the Jewish Sanhedrin, Nicodemus was probably a member of the ruling Jewish council at that time. They were rulers in the synagogue that decided what was right and what was wrong. Nicodemus, he knew all the law. And that's people that's not even saved that can quote scripture. They'll quote scripture to you if they're arguing with you about something. They'll quote scripture. They'll use scriptures to their advantage. But Nicodemus wasn't there to argue scripture. He wasn't there to prove his point about what he knew about the law. He knew there was something missing in his life. He knew he needed to be saved. "And what must I do?" He said, "You got to be born again." He didn't understand that. He said, "How can I go back and be a baby again and be in my mother's womb, be born again?" He said, "Oh, that's not what kind of born again I want from you. I want you to be born of the Spirit." Oh, me. I was born of the Spirit. I knew a little bit about going to church once in a while, but I was born of the Spirit. I got about a teenager, I decided I didn't want to go to church anymore, but I look back on that, and I remember a few specific times when God was speaking to me. Now, some of y'all might have heard this before, but there was a particular revival going on in the summertime at that old church down there in the country. I don't know who was doing the preaching, but he had a crooked finger, about like mine, and he would say something, and he was pointing that finger, that crooked finger, right at me. It seemed like he had my number. He was preaching. You know, old-time preachers, they used to get loud. They'd sweat, man, spit. Don't get close to them. They'd spitting and preaching and sweating. And nothing like a preacher that gets under the anointing. He'll rattle your cage a little bit. He'll tell you things your friends don't want to say to you. He'll say, "You're living in sin, you're going to go to hell." It was fire and brimstone. But I don't remember his name. I don't remember what he said. But I was on his right. I was on about the second or third pew, right about middle way. I remember standing up when they gave the altar call and holding on to that back of that bench in front of me. And I was just a young man, and I didn't know what to do. And I did not go to the altar that night. But I missed an opportunity there, but thank God there was more. He didn't turn his back on me, and he didn't let me go. And I wandered on through life a little bit further, and there was another time when it was really strong on my in my spirit. I just knew I was something wrong, I was something missing in my life. I needed to be redeemed. I needed independence from this world. I needed to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I had already at that point been sprinkled with water, which was a baptismal process at the time. That's what they did. It was sprinkling. It wasn't immersion like a lot of people do. You can argue that all day long, but I had joined a church. I had a piece of paper that said I was a member of the church. Yet when I walked in there and got in God's presence, he wanted a little bit more out of me. He wanted my heart. He wanted my soul. He wasn't worried about a piece of paper with my name on it. But he wanted me to be born again. I'm glad he wanted me to be one of his children. I was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My sins were washed away. And this came a couple years after that, two or three years after that. I think I was about 21. 21 years old. Single. Had a job. Had a car. Doing my own thing. Farming a little bit. Working in Nashville. I was around a lot of good people when I worked in Nashville, but country boy coming from Buffalo River. I was naive about a lot of things, but I had opportunity to take some drugs and marijuana, smoke marijuana. I turned all that down. I never participated in that, but people would sit beside me and outside at night, work night shift, and they'd go outside and they'd smoking a little marijuana out there, and they offered me marijuana. Thank God I never did take it. I never took any kind of drug. The Lord, I just knew something wasn't right about that. A lot of people got involved in that. I'm not criticizing people that do, but there's all kinds of things that the world presents to young people that get them involved in things, and we don't need that. And thank God I never was involved in any of that, but I had plenty of opportunities. You know, the enemy will give you opportunities to do the wrong things, to do things you shouldn't do. There's plenty of opportunities out there. You know, we're adults in here. There's opportunities for anything you want in the world, and it's out there. It's in Hohenwald, Tennessee. It's not just Nashville. But I remember some things I have to make mention of. Good friend Marshall Robinson up there, Riley, Canada. There's several names that comes into my thoughts. And Marshall had PTSD real bad. He came from Vietnam. And the company held his position while he was off serving after he got drafted. And Riley, Canada was in World War II. And he was a paratrooper. And both of them, very nervous. Somebody would drop something that made a loud noise behind them, and you know, it was obvious that they had a lot of problems because of coming back from the war. And I hope Marshall died after I left that place, and Riley, of course, he's older, he did too, but I hope that they got some redemption from that before they passed away. I remember those people, and I thank God this morning. Those two names I mentioned, I hope that they were redeemed from all that. But they paid a great price for that, and I have to make mention of my Uncle Fred. And he was in the war, and he came back. He was an alcoholic, bad alcoholic, and he was in a D-Day invasion, and made it, got wounded one time, and then they patched him up. A few weeks later, he's back in there again, and he made it. He made it home, but he was different. He's a different man. And I saw the most miraculous conversion of that man that a lot of people don't even know him. Some people, Brother David knows him. And the reason I'm thinking about him now is his daughter. That's my uncle, but his daughter was named Nell, and we have mom and dad adopted Nell. And she grew up she's actually my cousin, but we grew up in the same house, and I call her my sister. I got to see her yesterday, and she, by the way, she needs your prayers. She's got some health issues going on, but my Uncle Fred was about the worst alcoholic I've ever seen. And he had a good reason to be there, probably. Had I been through what he had been through, I'd probably be worse than he was. But there's all kinds of people like him that paid a great price for us to be here this morning. But the wonderful thing about it is the things that he had to do, the price that he had to pay, we're reaping the benefits of what he did. He did that for us. And all of the veterans all around that we see on that live here in town and go to church here and whatever, but they're all honored here today. They're honored in my presence. They're honored in my thinking and my mind because I'm reaping the rewards of independence from what they did. And not only that, you talk about what God can do. He can take somebody that's been in war in situations that's so terrible that we, none of us, if you've never been there, you won't understand it. But he can take that and give them old veterans peace of mind. He can erase a lot of the things that's bad that they had to go through. And he also erases things that's bad in our lives every day. He can soothe a lot of things that hurts our heart. He can mend up things that nobody can fix. And I saw my Uncle Fred go to an altar and pray through and get up from there and change. He was a changed man forever. I'm telling you, he smoked 3 packs of little old short Camels every day. Quit. Cold turkey. He quit smoking. Now, I'm not preaching against smoking, but Fred didn't think it was right for him to keep smoking. He quit. Drinking, he had 40 years of alcoholism and didn't go to any programs or anything. He got up from there, he quit. And you know what? God can do things. Now, I'm not against programs. I'm not against that at all. It helps a lot of people. Thank God we got people that can counsel people and help people through things. But God can do what nobody else can do. He can do what your preacher can't do. He can do what your mom and dad can't do. Everybody wants to reach out and help people, but sometimes I'm so limited in what I can do. But God can do. He can reach down and fix things that nobody else can fix. He can redeem the most hardened sinner, the most messed up life that's ever been. Just one touch from the Master's hand. That little lady had that issue of blood. Doctors could do nothing. She spent all she had. She said, if I can just reach it up there, if I can get to him and get close enough just to touch the hem of his garment, that's all it's going to take. I don't want to bother the Master. I just... Just let me touch the hem of his garment. That's all it's going to take. She was restored. And not only that, Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" They said, "Well, Jesus, there's all kinds of people all around you. What do you mean, who touched you?" He said, "No, no, this is special. There's somebody really touched me, and I touched them." That is the difference Jesus makes. There's nobody like him. Because we live in America, we have access to so many good things. Freedom has never been free, and it'll never, ever be free. Somebody has to pay for your freedom. Somebody's paid for us to be here this morning. Somebody's given us the opportunity to walk in here and to worship, to pray, to sing, to invite people in, to be love on each other and not justify. I don't know a lot of you folks personally. Is close. I know most of you, but I don't know your heart. I don't know what you're going through. But, you know, we put our arms around each other. We're friendly to each other, and we're not judging each other. We're loving on each other, and we love on people that come in we don't even know. Only in America do we have that opportunity. Because somebody paid that price for us. Only in America. Jesus, God wanted our soul. God wants your soul. He wants your life. He wants your heart and soul. He wants to be a part of your life. The Bible says in Psalm 111:9, he said, "He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." In Psalm 130, it says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption." Redemption. In Galatians 2:20, I'm going to have to skip down because I don't have much time. Galatians 2:20 says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives on the inside of me." Have you got Christ living on the inside of you? "By the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Only in America can you walk into any church, any Christian believing church around, go to that altar, or you can stand up or whatever. You can find him riding down the road. You can be in a crowd. He's everywhere. But you can call on his name, and he's willing to touch you and save you. And we have redemption through his blood. Also, the forgiveness of sins. Through his precious blood that he shed. It was God's plan to send his son to the cross to shed royal blood on the cross for us, for you and I. That was not cheap. That cost something. Freedom will cost you something. If you're going to serve God, you're going to have to let some things go. You can't stand on, sit on the middle of the fence. You can't participate in all the things that's going on in the world. There's a few things you got to draw a line to. No, I'm not going to go that route. I don't need that. I'm going to stick with what I know is true. And he says, "We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you a holy and blameless and unreprovable in his sight. 1 Timothy 2 and 6, it says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He paid the price for us, just like what we celebrate on the 4th of July, how so many people have made a contribution and have made, they paid a price. Some of them paid the ultimate price, but everybody paid a price. All of our military. And you know, you can't hardly be patriotic without feeling like God's got to be in the middle of it somewhere. He's got to be in the middle of it. What's been going on in Iran in the last 3 months? And there's only been a handful of losses. It's tragic, but, you know, things happen. Accidents happen. But is it not amazing that we could have that many thousand troops in one theater of war and people are trying to get to us every way they can? And there's only been a handful of casualties. That's got to be miraculous. No war has ever. You just send people to war, you do not escape casualties. That's just part of it. Yet, how blessed we've been that just a few casualties has happened. And I hate that it one's too many, but my goodness, what a miracle. God's got his hand on America, I'm telling you. 1 Peter 1 and 18, it says, for as much as you have known that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, which means your lifestyle, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 5 and 9 it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and made us unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I've got a lot more scriptures I could add to this, but I think I've probably wandered around here just about everywhere this morning. But I just want to say one more time that I'm so thankful that I live in America. I'm thankful that God has got his hand on this nation. I pray for our president, whoever it might be. Every 4 years we get another president. They're just human. They all make mistakes. Who knows who's going to be the next president? But whoever it is, I still think we have a part to play. We have our part to play. If we're not in the military or whatever, we need to pray. Pray that God's will be done in America, that he'll preserve what we cherish so much, the freedom to go worship anywhere you want to worship. The good things that people take for granted. Only in America can you rise as high as you want to go. If you're willing to work and study, learn things, you can be a craftsman, you can open a business, you can start with a bicycle. I know some people that used to mow lawns and they'd pull an old push mower behind a bicycle and go around the neighborhood and mow grass for people. You know what? Some of them same ones, they wound up, they started with a, you know what I'm talking about. Only in America can you do that. maybe later on they got driver's license. And hey, after I got my driver's license, I got me a little paper route. I didn't have to ride a bicycle anymore. I throw them papers out the window. Later on, I got me a trailer pulled behind my pickup truck. And I could haul my mower around. Not only that, I got a riding mower then. Little by little. Look at this. Opportunity. I got saved. I didn't know nothing about anything. Boy, I'm reading that Bible. Whoa, wait a minute. God said I could prosper if I'd honor him. God said he's going to take care of me. I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to lay down at night just thinking, I hope I don't die before morning. And, you know, just about anybody my age, about almost 74, you'll have a few bumps in the road probably. There'll a few little things. I even got a heart stent put in about 3 years ago, but that wasn't no big deal. I didn't know why I was having a heart attack. I was splitting wood. And if something didn't feel right, I didn't know when it went to the emergency room, doctors, it didn't take them long to figure out I needed to go further. I got me a ride in the ambulance. But, I never was worried. The next morning, they rolled me down that hallway, and Pat and all of them, you're going to do fine. I know I'm going to fine. I was so heart ignorant, I wasn't even worried. I didn't know it would have been a bad situation if something went wrong, but I wasn't worried about it. I was just thinking, going down that hallway, there's nothing like knowing Jesus and not have to worry about dying. I go down that hallway and go in that elevator to take you down there to that floor where they do the heart stuff, and I was just talking to the nurses and stuff like that. I was thinking to myself, you know what? God, you sure have been so good to me. You know, I don't have no regrets. I'd like to live a little bit longer, but if this is the end, I'm all right with it. I am totally all right with it. My life is in your hands, and when I gave my life to you, I just depend on you to take care of me. I found that in God's word, and I still believe that today. Let me end with this. I went through that procedure. It wasn't nothing to it. It was probably a lot, but I was knocked out probably. I laid my arm over there, and they went in there with that thing, fixed it. Doctor said it went right into place just fine. I stayed there another day or so, and he said, looks like you need to go home, go back to doing whatever you want to do. I want you to take it easy for about a week. And you go back and split wood, you do whatever you want to do. And I said, man, what a blessing. And I said, you know what? I think about that once in a while. That's what God said he'd do for me. He said if I'd honor him, he'd bless me. I'm going to give him credit for that. God had blessed me. And this week, I was out in that heat, baling hay, just all week long running like a deer. And we're on this big farm, and you're on a tractor, you got your truck down on one end, and I wound up feels like a mile, but it's about 3/4 of a mile from that tractor to my truck, and I had to get off and hoof it down through there. So I was walking, it was right in the middle of the day, and I had a last spring, early in the spring, about May, I had messed up my right knee, and torn meniscus in there. They did an MRI, and they saw it, a broken piece of cartilage in my right knee. And I had limped around last summer. You know, I was walking down through there, and I was noticing, I was walking down through there, and I was trying to walk fast, kind of in a hurry. And I said, you know what? My knee is not bothering me at all. It ain't hurting at all. And the doctor said, I'm probably going to have that that knee replaced. And you know what? I believe it's getting better every day. I don't even feel it now. And there's a piece of cartilage floating around in there. I believe God's fixed that. I just believe he has. Believe it or not, the MRI says it was broken and torn, but blessing after blessing. Thank God. I just believe he's took care of it. Only Jesus can do that in our life. Only him can redeem us from sin. Only him can fix things. If you can't go to sleep at night and you worry about things all the time, you don't feel like everything's right, just whisper to him and let him fix it. Let him fix it. Just like in America, we inherit all these good things that we have because of somebody else's effort. Somebody else paid the price. I didn't go fight. But I'm reaping the benefits of it. Jesus went to the cross so we could reap the benefits of what he did. And it's God's plan for us to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and let him wash away all of our sins and restore us and fix us. Whatever we need, he's able to do it. Thank God. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be a Christian. No place like America. Thank God for all his blessings. Father, we just thank you this day. I know I've rambled everywhere today, but Lord, you just fill my heart, my mind this week. How precious it is to live in America. How precious it is to know you. Reach out today and touch us, Lord. Draw us to you as only you can. Thank God for your precious blood and all that you've done for us. God bless America today. In Jesus' name, amen.